This episode is brought to us in part by our friends at Pinecone. They believe that all anyone really wants is to be understood, and that includes your users. AI models combined with the Pinecone vector database let your applications understand and act on what your users want without making them spell it out. Make your search application find results by meaning instead of just keywords. Your personalization system make picks based on relevance instead of just tags, and your security applications match threats by resemblance instead of just regular expressions. Pinecone provides the cloud infrastructure that makes this easy, fast, and scalable. Thanks to my friends at Pinecone for sponsoring this episode. Visit pinecone.io to understand more.
AWS's array of services is dizzying and complex. Perhaps worst of all, AWS displays no meaningful sign of slowing down service launches anytime soon. Why is this? As a general rule, companies hire smart people who make good decisions based upon the context that they operate within. That raises the question, what structures exist internally at Amazon that incentivize this never-ending sprawl of services? From my perspective, the clear-cut answer is a work culture that rewards the people launching services with fame, glory, and most importantly, promotions. AWS has also clearly demonstrated over 15 years that APIs and services rarely get deprecated. This is unlike Google, who also loves a good service launch, but has a veritable garbage heap of dead and dying services. You get the point. So AWS has structures in place that all but guarantee that services won't just launch, but will see continued ongoing investment. The challenge here is that without a periodic culling process, the explosion of services has become a problem in its own right. New service launches were great back in the days when there were a couple dozen AWS services, but now the pendulum has swung way too far in the opposite direction. The current state of things means that I can talk very convincingly about services that don't really exist and not even be called out on it by AWS employees. I don't think any database administrator on the planet wants a world where their primary job function is deciding which of AWS's 40 different managed database services is going to be the right fit for each and every workload. And this isn't just a problem for DBAs. AWS undercuts itself by not realizing that everyone at AWS is, presumably, on the same team. How much that's emphasized probably depends on who you work for. From everyone I've talked to at AWS, your experience will absolutely and nearly entirely depend upon one factor, your manager. This internal competition dynamic shows its seams from outside in the number of services that clearly duplicate functionality but exist within different parts of the organization. First, AWS Systems Manager Parameter Store launched. Then, almost a year and a half later, AWS Secrets Manager launched as well. They're mighty close to each other in terms of functionality, but Parameter Store is free, whereas Secrets Manager costs 40 cents a month per secret. Had there been an overarching, cohesive view of the roadmap of who was shipping what at AWS, it seems like it would have been remarkably hard to greenlight both of those services. Let me give you a more recent example. CloudWatch Evidently, is that a good name? Evidently not. It exists and launched last year for feature flagging. Well, feature flags were already a launch use case for AWS App Config. Then I'm even more confused by the subsequent launch of feature flags for App Config, because now it's not even slightly clear to me what the delineation is between all of these offerings. And most recently of all, the Amazon SageMaker team recently shipped a blog post talking about how to run Code Server. That is, despite the existence of both Amazon Workspaces and the AWS Cloud9 IDE. This all leads to a sense of haunting familiarity, a ghostly echo of, haven't I seen this capability somewhere before?
This episode is brought to you in part by our friends at Veeam. Do you care about backups? Of course you don't. Nobody cares about backups. Stop lying to yourselves. You care about restores, usually right after you didn't care enough about backups. If you're tired of the vulnerabilities, costs, and slow recoveries when using snapshots to restore your data, assuming that you even have them at all, living in AWS land, there's an alternative for you. Check out Veeam. That's V-E-E-A-M for secure, zero-fuss AWS backup that won't leave you high and dry when it's time to restore. Stop taking chances with your data. Talk to Veeam. My thanks to them for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast.
As AWS now features hundreds of options in its management console, there are plausibly a half dozen services that can be used to achieve most outcomes. Well, what's the best path forward? Because with all of these options, it's not clear. Guidance in that direction is sorely lacking. So I'm left with a sense that AWS product managers are just as confused as we are. From this cluster of competing, repetitive, profit-grabbing services, it's clear to outsiders that AWS's internal stakeholders are not operating from the same playbook. It amounts to having every service roll up to an old-timey feudal lord or lady who invariably pushes every service to turn its own profit. There is no earthly reason, to my mind, for example, that AWS Config should charge per rule evaluation. So, because that means tiny yet highly dynamic environments get charged a lot in surprise bills, but large stagnant environments that are spending huge money on EC2 instances that get treated like an extension of a data center get charged basically nothing by Config. Other services like GuardDuty, Detective, and Security Hub all cost money when the core value of what they're offering should absolutely be built into the offering itself. Isn't watching your environment for signs of bad actors the sort of thing that cloud providers should be offering as a core part of what they're selling in order to differentiate themselves from data centers? Apparently not. When every higher level service seems to come out of the gate with an eye toward being run at a direct profit by itself, AWS misses that a free service driving adoption of more EC2 or S3 would mean that the entire company comes out ahead and customers don't feel like they're suffering from the death of 1,000 cuts. The corollary to this is that if you make a truly great service, the price becomes almost irrelevant to customers because despite a lot of these things being expensive, customers are happily using them. Now, let's be clear, if you're an AWS product owner and listening to this, you need to be forewarned. Great is defined by the customer, not by you. And from what I've seen, we customers have higher standards than many of you do.
This has been a Humble Pod production.
Stay humble.